Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So we've seen fast food workers in America strike, at least for a day, and picket outside their restaurants demanding $15 an hour and demanding better treatment at work. Here's something new with fast food workers and striking. Some McDonald's workers have voted to strike in New Orleans soon, as well as nine other cities, over sexual harassment. I guess in this day and age of the hashtag MeToo movement, we're seeing some fast food workers now do the same. Look, in Hollywood, sexual harassment and sexual assault, that was commonplace for years. We've all heard of the casting couch. We've all heard of some women whose careers were made because of the casting couch Los Angeles.
And some who's never got off the ground because they refused to play ball.
Yeah.
And that's what the key to that was, the intimidation.
And it wasn't just Hollywood. It wasn't just guys like Harvey Weinstein.
That's Frankenstein.
Evidently, in corporate America, the casting couch was alive and well, too. And corporations, big corporate jobs in America, some women have gotten ahead because of that. And like Hollywood, some women's careers stalled because they wouldn't play ball on that casting couch. Well, emboldened by the hashtag MeToo movement, McDonald's workers have voted to stage a one-day strike next week at restaurants in several cities, including New Orleans.
How do you go on strike if you're not union?
Well, there are unions surrounding these people that have gotten together to help them, and they've voted.
Well, are they going to help them when they lose their job?
Well, some people are saying that really, sexual harassment at McDonald's? Are you sure you're still not mad because you haven't gotten your $15 an hour? I mean, I'm trying to think, really?
You know what I get? I get condiment harassment when I go to fast food places.
This strike is they're hoping to pressure management to take stronger steps against on-the-job sexual harassment at McDonald's. McDonald's. Plans for the walkout to start at lunchtime on September 18th. That's
I'm not very good at math.
That's Tuesday.
Yeah, but that's next Tuesday.
That's next Tuesday. And they've been approved in recent days by women's committees formed by employees at dozens of McDonald's restaurants across the United States. So lead organizers include several women who filed complaints with the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or the U.S. EEOC.
Ding.
Back in May. And they're alleging harassment at some McDonald's franchise restaurants. The strike comes as union-backed organizations, there you go, Brewster, have been putting pressure on McDonald's on several fronts for better working conditions, including the $15 an hour wages. And I guess you could throw sexual harassment in there with the problems that some of these McDonald's employees, these McDonald's female employees, have been, they say they've been facing. This is something that we don't see from any male employees.
You know, Mrs. Brewster went to pick me up a fast food restaurant salad. It may or may not have been McDonald's. A salad. And they neglected to put a fork in the bag. That's harassment.
Well, with the rest of their food, you don't need utensils. Whether it's the French fries, whether it's the sandwiches. That's one of the things that I love about McDonald's.
But in the window, I'm going to put you in the window. I'm going to put you on the hot seat and in the window. If you bag a salad for someone in the drive-through window, you don't stop to think, hey, they might need a fork.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you on that.
But, yeah. I had pain and suffering. No, my hand to God.
This isn't going to be every McDonald's in New Orleans, but this is going to be some McDonald's in New Orleans next Tuesday. They're going to strike for the corporation to get tougher on sexual harassment.
Which is no joke. I mean, we're making fun here, but it's...
No, it's no joke, but... You know, the women in corporate America who have been sexually harassed, the women in Hollywood, they've gone on to make hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars. What are the women in McDonald's who are being sexually harassed making? And again, this isn't every McDonald's in New Orleans that they're going to strike at lunchtime next Tuesday. But it's going to be some McDonald's here, as well as Chicago, Durham, North Carolina, Kansas City, Missouri, not Kansas City, Kansas, Los Angeles, Miami, Milwaukee, Orlando, San Francisco, and St. Louis. That's what we have on the list.
I was going to say we could not do a show that day and show solidarity with these workers. But if they're here locally at noon, I'm already back to bed by noon.
They said they couldn't predict with precision how many workers would join the strike, but noted that hundreds of workers had participated in the committee meetings that put these things together. McDonald's, the corporation, in an email defended their anti-harassment efforts. They say, quote, "We have policies, procedures, and training in place that are specifically designed to prevent sexual harassment at our company and company-owned restaurants, and we firmly believe that our franchisees share this commitment." That's what they have to say. So throw McDonald's workers. I've heard of the casting couch. They don't have couches at McDonald's.
No. Well, some of them have...
Maybe the booth.
Well, some of them have Playland.
Playland or
but
just...
That's...
Maybe this happened in a booth in the corner. So not the casting couch, the casting booth or Playland or whatever. Boy, oh boy. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlund Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford. So the mayor of Kenner yesterday had a press conference in the afternoon, Ben Zahn, because we all know, if we've been paying attention to the news, that Kenner, and something he did last week, made national news. The mayor of Kenner, Ben Zahn, last week said that no city money was going to be spent on Nike products when it came to Kenner's recreational department or any time they had to spend any money on any sneakers or sports-related gear, that they were not going to spend any money with Nike because Nike made Colin Kaepernick one of the faces of their 30th anniversary for their Just Do It slogan, their campaign. And the mayor of Kenner wasn't happy about that. And so he said that no taxpayer money in Kenner would be spent on Nike because you didn't want to politicize that, evidently, over in Kenner, whether it's with their recreation department or whatever the case may be. They spend some money. And whenever a city spends money, they're spending the money of the taxpayers. They said they didn't want to spend it on Nike products. Well, as soon as he said that, he was labeled a racist. He said, how could you do this? And there were many people who said, this isn't cool. Kenner should not be withholding money from Nike because they are using Colin Kaepernick as a spokesperson. And so I guess the pressure got to be too much. Being called a racist got to be too much. And yesterday, the mayor, during a press conference, rescinded his city's ban when it comes to spending money with Nike.
Now, do you think that the stance taken and the comments by others in Orleans Parish, most notably Her Honor, the mayor, LaToya Cantrell, who said, look, she wasn't down on the ban with Nike, and she said, Kenner, that's one thing, but the Louis Armstrong International Airport may be in Kenner, but it operates under the jurisdiction of the city of New Orleans, the parish of Orleans, and we're not going to do that.
Well, our history-making mayor, and she is historic because she's the first female mayor in the history of New Orleans. I call her LaTweeta Cantrell because she's on Twitter a lot. She tweets a lot. She retweets a lot. Yeah, LaTweeta wasn't happy about that. My congressman here in the city of New Orleans, Cedric Richmond, he...
Friend of the show. Well, no, not really.
He wasn't happy about what Kenner Mayor Ben Zahn did. Oh, I'm sure. And being labeled a racist, which, look, I don't think is right, and I don't think it's fair. You could not agree with Colin Kaepernick, like I don't agree with Colin Kaepernick, for taking a knee during the national anthem of NFL football games after he already lost his job. And he started dating this woman who's extremely militant, because Colin Kaepernick wasn't like this before he started dating that woman. I don't like the fact when players got on one knee during the national anthem, because I've always said, look at how many people sacrificed and gave the ultimate sacrifice, how many people died for that flag so you could live in a country where you could play a game and make $10 million a year, $11 million a year, $12 million a year, like Colin Kaepernick made. You know, that flag represents a lot. And that flag, how many people died so he could walk away from a contract that would have paid him $12 million a year, which is what Colin Kaepernick did. And Colin Kaepernick was paid by Nike lots of money during these last couple of years when he wasn't being paid by a team in the NFL. And as I mentioned on the show yesterday, you know, don't be comparing Colin Kaepernick with Rosa Parks. Nobody threw Colin Kaepernick in jail for his stance. So Kenner now has rescinded its Nike ban. And there were groups, Brewster, that popped up in Kenner since Ben Zahn did this last week. There were groups in Kenner that and other groups, outside groups, that said that they were going to only buy Nike stuff. And only use Nike sneakers and Nike gear for Kenner recreational purposes. But he was buried, the mayor, under political and legal criticism, under pressure. And so it got too much for him, and he backed off yesterday. He reversed his week-old ban on Nike purchases by the Parks and Recreation Department there. He said that he rescinded his order based on advice from his city attorney, and he hopes that this will bring the city of Kenner back together. I mean, it's not often when a place like Kenner makes national news, and it did. And many say it made national news for all the wrong reasons. He did this, he stood before a United States Air Force fighter jet display in Veterans Memorial Park there in Kenner. And what he did, he also said that this placed Kenner in a false and unflattering light on the national stage. And I think the word false is important, because when the people just started calling him a racist and saying the city of Kenner is racist and this is where their hearts are, I don't think it's right to say if you disagree with what Colin Kaepernick did, you're a racist. Because statistics do not back up what Colin Kaepernick said and what Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for. We don't have statistics that tell us that white cops are just running around shooting unarmed black men. And that's why Colin Kaepernick, that's why he said he kneeled. We just don't have those statistics. And we've talked about this before on the show. Sure, there were a couple of high-profile cases, Trayvon Martin in Florida, Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. But in both of those cases, Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown were the instigators. They started the incidents that got them killed. You know, there are some people, they hear the name Trayvon Martin or they hear the name Michael Brown, they immediately think that they were hunted down and shot. And that wasn't the case. Trayvon Martin was basically home, and he didn't like being looked at, being stared at by George Zimmerman. And Michael and Trayvon Martin stopped. He was almost home. He doubled back. And he attacked George Zimmerman and was beating him to death. He was on top of George Zimmerman, punching him in the face, banging his head on the pavement, and George Zimmerman then pulled the gun that he had on him, and he shot Trayvon Martin. Michael Brown robbed a store and then attacked a cop. He leaned into the cop car, and he punched the cop in the face. He attacked the cop and then took off from the cop. And then when the cop got out of the car and pulled the gun on Michael Brown, Michael Brown turned around and attacked the police officer. And as he was attacking the police officer shot and killed him. Now, you would have never known that if you had only turned on CNN, because when CNN showed up, they talked to one of Michael Brown's friends. And they told the media that friend told CNN that Michael Brown was walking away with his hands up, don't shoot. Remember the T-shirts? Remember the St. Louis Rams coming out of some of the players coming out of the tunnel, the locker room with their hands up, don't shoot. That was a false narrative. That didn't happen. Now look, I'm not saying that there's been instances in our country in our recent history where white cops perhaps were out of line when it came to black males and how they treated them and young black males. Look, but it wasn't those two cases, those two high-profile cases. It wasn't those cases. And it wasn't the case in Baton Rouge with Sterling Brown. Or Sterling, what was his name? It wasn't the case with him when he ended up getting shot and killed by Alton Sterling, by Baton Rouge cops, who had one of them lost their jobs because they had gotten him on the ground, and yet they were called to the scene there at that quickie stop late at night, saying that this guy who's selling stuff in the parking lot has a gun on him, and that he did. And in the case of Alton Sterling, the Baton Rouge cops confronted him. They said, "Come over here. Let me see your hands. We're hands up." And he wouldn't do it because he already had a gun on him. and he was already a felon in possession of a gun, and he knew once the Baton Rouge cops found that gun on him, he was going to go back to prison for a long time. He didn't want that to happen. So that's why he fought with the Baton Rouge cops, and they took him to the ground, and most people have seen that video where they shot him when they were on the ground, and they said that was wrong. So yesterday, Ben Zahn, the mayor of Kenner, rescinded his Nike ban when it comes to Kenner spending money on stuff for their recreation department, the Parks and Recreation Department, and now I guess they can buy Nikes again. So that's where we're at there. Coming up on the show, it looks like Mike the Tiger's days are numbered in the cage for the LSU mascot. Over 30,000 people have signed their name to a petition saying they got to get that tiger out of there. No living tiger should be living in that cage. So it looks like Mike the Tiger's days are numbered. Stay tuned for that report.
Well, not numbered, just numbered in his current confinement.
Well, what would happen to him? They wouldn't.
Well, he's going to be cared for, I would imagine, we'll find out. We'll find out next.
Yeah, that's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Have you ever heard of that band? I don't even know, Brewster, if I'm allowed to say the name of the band on the radio. The band from Russia?
I know exactly which band you're talking about. And I would say, let's not. It's a two-word name. The second name is Riot.
And the first word rhymes with wussy.
Yes. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, they're a...
How do you like my musical acumen there? I nailed that with only you saying the band from Russia, whose name I probably shouldn't say on the radio.
Well,
pretty good.
There's a reason why I'm bringing them up.
All right.
They're a feminist punk rock group. And
who famously get arrested for this, that, and the other.
Especially in Russia, where they don't have the freedom of speech like we do and
right.
Things like that. Well, one of the members of the band, rhymes with Wussy Riot.
That band, yes.
Has been poisoned. She's in grave condition. She's in the hospital. And she's losing some of her eyesight, and she's lost the ability to speak. And we know for a fact the leader of Russia, Vladimir Putin, he's poisoned people before. He's at least given the go-ahead to poison people before that challenge him. And so now we're saying, some are saying, that this one of the members of the band Bleep Riot in Russia has been poisoned. And that's why she's in the hospital right now. And you'd have to be crazy to put that past Vladimir Putin, because people in that country who don't agree with him, who challenge him, people that have tried running against him, people that have spoken out against him, they've been poisoned.
That's John Osterlin, Osterling, period.
And so now
I have to separate myself from going out on that limb.
Now many, I'm not the only one saying it, but many are saying that
you're the only one on this show.
The government behind Russia is probably behind the poisoning for this woman who's in the band Bleep Riot, who sing out against him, and they are a feminist punk rock band from Russia. Do stay tuned. All right, coming up on the show, it could be over for Mike the Tiger, the mascot for LSU, because there's been a petition. Over 30,000 people have signed this petition. They say get him out of that cage on campus.
Right, it's not over for him. It's over for his current conditions.
Well, stay tuned for that report here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. So, Mike the Tiger could be a goner up there at LSU. Well, when I say goner, they're not going to kill him, but over 30,000 people have signed their name to a petition to free the LSU mascot.
Nowhere in that story does it say goner.
Well, he may be a goner from campus.
But when you say that and people are busy and they're making breakfast and the kids are screaming and crying and vomiting and you can't get a bleeding Watney's Red Barrel. Wait, I'm doing a different bit.
Over 30,000 people.
People hear that he might be a goner, that he might actually expire.
Well, no. Over 30,000 people have put their name on a petition to free LSU's Mike the Tiger. They say he shouldn't be entertainment. Now, I've been on the campus, and I've gone over to his cage, which is right next to the stadium over there where they play football. And, you know, it looks like he's living in the lap of luxury, but the problem is...
He's got more meat on his bones than you do, though, yeah. And I think that's what he was thinking, too.
He could be living... I think he's living better than I am. But there are people that say... He shouldn't be in there. There are people that are saying that he should be out and about like most Tigers.
Well, there are people who will then spout life expectancy both in the wild, which they claim is shorter, and then living the pampered life of luxury much longer.
Look, I'm an animal lover, and I know you're an animal lover, Brewster. Do you have an issue with Mike the Tiger living there?
I have an issue with your very first statement in this story, that mascots... Live living mascots are somehow entertainment. I don't think any of their they're entertaining. Whether it's I think it's a tradition whose time has come and gone. Whether it's the tiger or it's the dog at College Station, Texas A&M. What's the dog's name? I'll get a text here shortly.
I'm not a Texas A&M fan.
Yeah, it's just it's just.
Well, at least
focus on the game, not the mascot.
About 35,000 people have signed a petition asking LSU to release Mike the Tiger and permanently stop having a live tiger mascot. Wouldn't that stink if one of the students dressed up in a tiger outfit and ran on the field? Quote, "We believe that animals shouldn't be used as entertainment. They aren't here for our amusement," said Rebecca Gerber of Care 2, a California-based social media operation. So this is coming from California. With 40 million members, Care 2 is sponsoring the effort that began 2 weeks ago. Though LSU has spent millions of dollars improving Mike the Tiger's enclosure, and by the way, that could be another issue because LSU is a state university. That's Louisiana taxpayers' money going to that. Although, as we know, the attendance at LSU football games and LSU, the LSU football program, pays for all of the sports at LSU, and that includes the mascot enclosure.
By the way, just to close the circle, for those of you keeping track, it is Reveille, the collie. And they're up to Reveille number 9 at Texas A&M.
Well, isn't Mike the Tiger? He's either number 8 or number 9,
something
isn't
like
he?
That.
Yeah, the one that they got now. Yeah, LSU has spent millions improving Mike the Tiger's enclosure. The people at Care 2, this organization that wants Mike the Tiger out of there, said the point is that having a wild animal on campus as a tourist attraction makes it easier for people to accept killing animals for consumer reasons, which is the most likely end for the tigers bred in captivity. So if you're listening right now, do you think, look, life is changing, times change. I've always said, when I first started doing radio, it was a whole hell of a lot easier than it is now. I can't say pretty much half the things that I used to be able to say. Life changes. Is this the new life? Is it wrong for a wild tiger to be kept in an enclosure right next to the football stadium on the campus of LSU in Baton Rouge?
Well, let's say that the tiger is, let's say that they have their way with this, and the tiger goes to a zoo. I'm not a big fan of zoos, and that begs the question, should all animals be released from zoos and be released into the wild? Do we really? I mean, it's just like the zebra song.
Well, who's behind the door?
Yes.
This is Mike 7.
Mike 7?
Yeah. Mike 6 died of cancer. As a matter of fact, soon after Mike 6 died of cancer, this group gathered over 142,000 signatures asking LSU not to replace him with a new Tiger. But they did anyways. I know some people don't like change. And for years, there was never really a problem with having a live wild tiger in a cage on the LSU campus or at a truck stop, a highway truck stop, not far from the LSU campus.
Yeah. You know I was not a fan of that.
We've talked about that before.
That poor thing died of diesel fumes.
Like it inhaled some fumes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did that poor thing in?
But see, you can't even really compare like a dog mascot with a tiger mascot because you're talking about two completely, you know, there aren't too many people with domesticated tigers about.
No, and there aren't too many, you know, wild dogs being held as mascots.
Maybe we put like Reveille, the A&M dog, and Mike 7. It's
if we do that,
Reveille 9 and Mike 7 in a cage match to the death.
That would be a meal for Mike the Tiger.
You think just a snack?
That would be a snack for Mike the Tiger. So how do you feel about this? And do you think that LSU is going to fight back here? Or do you think LSU is going to acquiesce and listen to the people saying that wild tigers should not be in cages, even though they're real nice cages?
Right.
It's a huge area over there. I've been there. Stay tuned. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Be a part of our radio station, Bayou 95.7, on Facebook. I just put up a video of a father losing it at his son's Little League game. He pushes the umpire, then he grabs the bat, and he demands the Little League pitcher pitch to him. obviously a parent who is out of control. But go check that out. And again, if you give us a like on Facebook or if you follow us on Facebook, we put stuff up there all day and night. It'll pop right onto your Facebook newsfeed there.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. And we appreciate it. I got a couple of issues with a couple of Facebook friends, Brewster. And look, you know, if you're on Facebook, you can...
And by friends, you mean people, for the most part, that you haven't met.
Yeah,
there
I've
are
always...
Facebook friends, like in my world... People I've actually met and had like at least a conversation with, and then you have this.
I've always used my personal Facebook page for the radio show, so whatever. I haven't met most of the people, but that doesn't mean I can't have issues. And look, you can put whatever you want on your Facebook.
Oh no, I'm surprised you don't have more issues than you do. That's my point.
I mean, one of my Facebook friends just put up, "Please send prayers. I can't tell you now. Maybe I'll tell you later why." To me, that's just why. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? I don't understand. That's so vague. And then the other day, one of my Facebook friends said one of her relatives was just rushed to the ER. You know, can you please? Well, if one of my relatives was just rushed to the ER, the last place I would be is on Facebook telling people that. I mean, the last place I would be.
You'd probably stop off for some juju fruits and then put it on Facebook.
But again, it's your Facebook page. You can put whatever you want up there.
But you can unfollow these people without unfriending them, and then they don't even know.
I guess so. I got to look into that.
I've got to show you some of the tricks.
Some of the stuff drives me insane. Coming up next, we look at today in history. Why today doesn't suck is what we call it. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show. Brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's that time of our show where we look at today in history and we call the segment...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Happy National Peanut Day.
All right. It's Thursday the 13th. September 13th. Do we know why today's National Peanut Day? I'm a big peanut fan.
I like peanuts.
And when it comes to snacks, they're probably one of the best snacks for you compared to potato chips or pretzels or things like that. Peanuts are, they have the last jar of peanuts I bought, they have the heart logo on there. meaning that they're good for your heart.
You just believe everything you see, don't you?
You can't just think, what are you, just going to make it up? They're just going to put a heart on there and say, oh yeah, peanuts are good for your heart, if they're not good for your heart?
I will stand by my previous statement. Likely originating in South America around 3,500 years ago. This legume, it's not a nut. They grow underground like potatoes. They're the actual edible seed that forms in a pod, making them belonging to the family Leguminosae with peas and beans.
I'm a big peanut fan.
They are good. They're very good. That's all. I don't know why. They don't know either.
Well, did you realize that today the Star Spangled Banner was written?
Is that why it's also Uncle Sam Day? Because it's that, too, and I wasn't really sure if those two went together.
It might be. Now, we all know that the star, well, we might not know, the Star Spangled Banner wasn't written as a song. It was written as a poem by Francis Scott Key.
And the tune is an old, I believe, old British drinking song.
Yeah.
Like many songs of that era.
He wrote the poem while he was watching Washington, D.C. get attacked in 1814. But it didn't become the song until 1931. It didn't become America's national anthem. And you know that song, the national anthem, has since brought some people to their knees.
I see what you did there. It's Uncle Sam Day because the man behind the iconic image and fascinating nickname for the United States government is recognized on today, Uncle Sam Day. It started on September 13th, 1766. How about that?
A lot of history.
Why
there.
Why today doesn't suck.
September 13th. It was today in 1971.
Why today doesn't suck.
The massacre at Attica Prison in New York. That was made into a movie, and that chant some people to this day say, Attica, Attica. Well, it was a four-day revolt at the maximum security Attica Correctional Facility near Buffalo, New York, upstate there. And that four-day revolt ended today in 1971 when hundreds of state police officers stormed the complex in a hail of gunfire. 39 people were killed in the disastrous assault, including 29 prisoners and 10 prison guards. Yeah, employees were held hostage since the outset of the ordeal 4 days previous. Have you ever seen that movie, Attica?
I don't believe I have.
You know I'm a big fan of prison movies.
Yes.
Especially women's prison movies, but there are more men's prison movies, and this is one of the, it's a real good prison movie, Attica. September 13th. It was today in 2004.
Why today doesn't suck.
Oprah Winfrey gave away about 300 brand new cars on her television show. That's when she pointed at people in her audience and she said, you win a new car, you win a new car, you win a new car. She did that almost 300 times. And, you know, you would think most of the people there would be happy for winning new cars, but some weren't because they realized that they had to pay income tax on winning the new car from Oprah. So they're saying, Oprah, can't you give us the new car without making us pay income tax on it?
And she said, no.
People were screaming. They were crying. Some were crying. They were happy because they won the car. Others were crying, saying, how am I going to pay the income tax on this car?
Right.
It was an emotional day in the Chicago, Illinois studios where they used to tape the Oprah Winfrey
yes.
show.
Yes, Harpo Studios. That's Oprah backwards. That's where they... That's what it used to be called.
You know, she has her own network now, and that's what it's called, OWN.
Mm-hmm.
That stands for the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Right.
And do we get that on Cox Cable here? Because I get 1,000 channels. I don't know what I get. I don't know what I have to pay for, what's included in my... I don't know.
It comes in on my cable, but I don't get it. So I'm not sure how to really answer that question. It was on this date, September 13th. 41 years ago today, in 1977...
Why today doesn't suck.
...that we heard, and I'm going to pay an homage to The Voice here, who he has since passed, but at one time the voice of The Price is Right. After Johnny Olsen, it was the first time we heard this. This is the story of two sisters, Jessica Tate and Mary Campbell. These are the Tates, and these are the Campbells.
I remember when I was a kid.
And this is Soap. The great Rod Roddy was the voice of Soap. And that show premiered today, September 13th, 41 years ago. And it's that, a good show, underrated show.
Yeah, and that was, it made news for a couple of reasons. Was that the first show that had an openly gay character on it?
I would say they would get credit for that.
And I think Billy Crystal was the actor that played that character.
Yes.
And that was the first time America saw Billy Crystal.
I would say so. I believe so. I think he may have auditioned already for Saturday Night Live. I think Soap, let's see, 77. No, that would not be the first. Okay. At the same time that Saturday Night Live started on NBC, it couldn't actually be called Saturday Night Live because Howard Cosell had a ridiculous attempt at a Saturday Night variety show. Billy Crystal was in that cast, and that was actually Saturday Night Live with Howard Cosell.
Huh.
Billy Crystal subsequently auditioned for Saturday Night Live, wouldn't get on that show until 1985, during that 1 year when they had the, excuse me, the superstar cast, if you will, of Billy Crystal, Christopher Guest, help me out here, who else was in that cast? It was just Harry Shearer, I think.
Part-time New Orleans resident.
Yeah, I'm forgetting a couple of other ones, but it was the year that they had just the first time they had known actors, and that cast stuck together for just 1 year. What was the question? So I would say for a small number of people, Billy Crystal had been seen at least once a week for however long Howard Cosell's show lasted, which was not very long.
September 13th. It was today in 1980.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Willie Nelson and his band play live at the White House, and President Jimmy Carter showed up. Now, was that when Willie Nelson, when he went onto the roof and smoked a joint?
I don't know that story.
Yeah, the story goes, supposedly Willie Nelson smoked a joint on the roof of the White House. Now, I don't know if that was today in 1980, when he and his band played a gig at the White House. How about that?
In rock and roll, it was on this date, September 13th, in 1969.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Well, that's when John Lennon and the Plastic Ono Band made their live debut with Eric Clapton on guitar. In Toronto, at the Toronto Rock and Roll Revival Festival at Varsity Stadium.
How about that?
It was mostly pretty good, except when Yoko got behind the mic and started to do her hits like... You remember that one.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Both Paul McCartney and John Lennon, after they broke up the Beatles, they both got their spouses involved in their musical careers.
And sadly, neither of them could sing.
No, Linda McCartney and Yoko Ono were not known for their musicianship.
Other acts on that bill included Lennon heroes like Bo Diddley, Gene Vincent, Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard. Also, Alice Cooper and the Doors on that. And that's notable because during Alice Cooper's set, a live chicken made its way onto the stage, and why Alice threw it over the crowd, expecting that it would just fly away like the white dove of peace. Instead, it plummeted into the audience, where sadly it was torn to pieces.
Yeah, well, we live and we learn.
True story.
Yeah, rock shows, we shouldn't throw live birds into crowds.
No, it is time for the Why Today Doesn't Suck quiz. It was on this date, September 13th. I won't tell you the year, but the most covered song of all time was written September 13th. All right, you need a hint. September 13th, 1965.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The most covered song of all time?
Yes. To date, with over 1,600 different versions recorded by both male, by female, by groups. You need another hint?
Written today in 1965, the most covered song.
Released today in 1965. Released today. This should give it away. This song began its life scribbled onto probably a cocktail napkin as scrambled egg. Oh, that didn't give it away. All right, one more hint. This is the last one. I'll have to turn over all the cards. It was on this date, September 13th, 1965.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
That the most covered song of any song ever written, with over 1,600 versions recorded, scribbled firstly onto a cocktail napkin as scrambled egg. Scrambled egg. All my troubles seem so far away.
Oh, yesterday.
There you go. I knew you'd get it eventually.
I didn't know that was the most covered song of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? I love learning something.
There are people scheduled in studios right now to cover it tomorrow.
Two more quick things, finally. Today, September 13th, in 1990, the television...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The television show Law & Order debuted for the first time.
Mrs. Brewster's favorite.
Yeah. That's on reruns everywhere and... And
on every TV in my house.
Today in 1996.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Some who call the best rapper ever died, Tupac Shakur. He died after being shot in Las Vegas. He lived for a little while in a hospital, but he died today. And his killers are still out there, and there's no real search for who shot and killed Tupac Shakur.
And except for that, that's a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, have you seen what's been going on with comedian Norm MacDonald? He was supposed to be on a late-night show, but he made some comments, and it got him banned from that late-night show. And so now he just made some more comments trying to make up for that, and that got him in even more trouble.
That didn't go so well, huh?
Yeah, we'll tell you all about that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. See that new survey they saw with the happiest and unhappiest states in America? According to that survey, Hawaii is the happiest state. The people in Hawaii are the happiest, even though they got some lava that they're dealing with, hot lava right now that they got to watch out for.
Not when they go to pay for things and pay for their taxes, pay taxes.
Well, but I guess if they're living there, I guess
paradise, you know.
Yeah, you know they can deal with that. And according to that same survey, West Virginia is the unhappiest state in the United States. As a matter of fact, West Virginians are so unhappy.
How unhappy are they?
They cheer themselves up by visiting New Jersey. It makes them feel a little bit better. Then they go back to West Virginia. Hey, coming up next, Norm MacDonald got himself in all kinds of trouble for not just one thing he said, but then something he said that tried to make up for that one thing he said. We're going to explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Coming up on the show, the mayor of Kenner rescinds his ban on Nike. Anybody from the city of Kenner or the Kenner Recreation Department buying Nike shoes, they said he couldn't do it anymore because he wasn't happy that Nike named Colin Kaepernick one of the faces of their Just Do It 30th anniversary slogan. He had a backpedal on that. That's coming up. And also, Mike the Tiger's days could be numbered at LSU, the live tiger being held on campus, because there's a group that's gotten over 35,000 signatures saying that tiger should not be on that campus. But Norm MacDonald has made some news. The comedian, best known for doing the Weekend Update, the news on SNL, Saturday Night Live, years ago, when he was very publicly fired from that gig. I think he was fired because of all of the O.J. jokes that he used to make, the O.J. Simpson jokes, when he was the anchor of that.
The story goes that when, help me out with the former NBC sports guy, Dick Ebersol.
Ebersol.
When Dick Ebersol became the president of NBC during the time that Norm MacDonald was doing Weekend Update on SNL, it was just one O.J. joke after another.
And Ebersol was good friends with O.J. Simpson.
They were tight. They were thick as thieves, one might say. And that's, if you believe the story, that's how it goes. Of course, Norm MacDonald on Weekend Update, one of my favorite jokes of all time. Well, for the second year in a row, The worst job in America is crack whore. And ironically, for the same number of years in a row, the second worst job in America, assistant crack whore. That's pretty much Norm MacDonald in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I remember when he got fired from SNL and as the host of Weekend Update. There were a lot of people that were upset, and a lot of people were happy, but there were, I think there were a lot of people that were upset about that. Well, Norm MacDonald's in the news again. I guess he's got a show on Netflix. And so he was going to go on The Tonight Show with his old buddy Jimmy Fallon and to promote it. But yet he had said something about the hashtag Me Too movement. And he said that he was happy that the hashtag Me Too movement had slowed down a little bit. And he used his friends, comics Louis C.K. and Roseanne Barr, as examples. And he said it's really going to end when someone puts a gun to their head and pulls the trigger. And because he said that, his appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon was scrapped. It was canceled. And that got some people upset, saying now's the time when you have someone like that, a comedian who angered a lot of people with something he said. Now's the time when you have someone like that on your show, Jimmy Fallon. But they didn't, and they said, Norm MacDonald, your appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon is canceled. So he did another interview yesterday trying to clear that up when he said something that angered people even more. And it kind of stinks when you're trying to clear something up.
I'm working on the audio here to play what we can air of this. So,
yeah,
give me just a minute.
It stinks when you do an interview trying to clear something up that you said that angered people, but then you ended up saying something that angered people even more than what you had originally said. And that's what happened with Norm MacDonald. And I guess all of this publicity is probably good for his upcoming television talk show that he's going to have on Netflix. But what he said originally, again, I told you, and then he said suggesting that there was a lack of forgiveness out there for entertainers who say something unpopular, and quote, now it's admit wrongdoing and you're finished. And the only way to survive these days is to deny, 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 and that's not healthy. And then that's when he said that he thinks at some point the hashtag Me Too movement is going to end completely when an innocent person of prominence commits suicide.
Yeah, it's he was interviewed by the Hollywood Reporter, as I heard this, and I actually, the program... I heard the program live yesterday on which the clip we're about to play comes from, and he mistakenly used the word victims in reference to people like a Roseanne Barr and like a Louis C.K. who lose everything instantaneously in their career by one moment, and in this interview he tries to explain and just makes it worse.
You know, you'd have to have Down syndrome. You have to have Down syndrome to not feel sorry for, you know, of course Me Too is what you want for your daughters.
So he's in his own way, he is supporting the Me Too movement, the hashtag Me Too movement.
By saying that you would have to have Down syndrome not to feel sorry for victims of sexual abuse.
Correct.
And now that just angered people even more than maybe his original comments did, because now, well, Down syndrome, what do you mean?
In hearing the thing in its entirety, as I heard almost all of it, it's inexplicable as to why the mind of Norm MacDonald goes there. I honestly, some people say he just has a... You know, they say that all comics are tortured and sad inside. Some are saying he just has this inner need for, not need, but this inner inability to not self-combust. by saying these things, which are going to go around the world instantaneously, and self-sabotage, I think, is what he may be suffering from.
So now it makes it look like he's making fun of people with Down syndrome when he's just trying to tell a joke.
When you read the headline, that's what he was trying to defend himself against, what the Hollywood Reporter apparently, and I didn't see that article, but what they printed was, the headline is, Norm MacDonald defends Louis C.K. and Roseanne Barr.
Yeah, they take just a little piece, and exactly. Now just like, now the Down syndrome, here we go. And,
right.
You know, you used to be able to be a comedian and say things that would anger people, and still, but these days, not anymore.
Right.
And I still wonder if this is going to be good or bad promotion and publicity for his Netflix special. And I wonder
Netflix series. He has a Netflix series.
Yeah, a whole series. I wonder now if Netflix is going to keep his series or if they're going to just say, no, we can't deal with this anymore. Stay tuned.
We'll find out.
Isn't it something? It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Wanted to remind you, if you're on the North Shore, if you're in Mandeville this weekend, on Saturday night, Sledgehammer is playing Casinos. I was just talking about Casinos. Don't sabotage yourself if you love live rock and not go to Casinos this Saturday night, because Sledgehammer is playing. Those guys rule. It's the drummer from Zebra. It's the guitarist from Lillian Axe. Two of the biggest rock bands that ever came out of New Orleans. And yeah, they're a cover band, but they do epic cover songs. They do cover songs that most cover bands wouldn't even try to do. Arena rock in Casinos this Saturday night. And I've seen them before there. I'll probably be there again Saturday night. What a venue to see that band in. And, you know, LSU is playing Auburn on Saturday afternoon. And I know Casinos has that game on. And it's just a great place to go to eat fantastic Italian food and to rock out, literally and figuratively. So if you're looking for a rocking good time this Saturday night, go see Sledgehammer at Casino's Italian Grill. Coming up on the show, the mayor of Kenner, Ben Zahn, had to do a backpedal, and he made national news for his controversial policy that he said no taxpayer money will be spent on Nikes in the wake of Nike naming Colin Kaepernick the face of their Just Do It campaign for the 30th anniversary. Well, he got a lot of backlash from that. He was called a racist. And he was called divisive. So he backpedaled on that, and now there is that ban is not happening anymore. Coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So a story is out about how the history-making mayor of the city of New Orleans, I call her LaTweeta Cantrell because she loves Twitter, she may have done something wrong. And this all has to do with the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. Which, by the way, I like what she has done with the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. That fiasco of an organization. How not long after the temporary higher-ups over there gave themselves big-time raises, she fired them. And I like that. And the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board finally has its leader in there who doesn't have the word interim in front of it. And I like what she did. Although the story goes, she held two Sewerage and Water Board meetings out of public view. And that's a violation of the open meetings law. But to be honest with you, I don't think what she did by having a couple of meetings over the phone in private with the Sewerage and Water Board members, I don't think that was
That's your expert legal opinion?
Well, my expert legal opinion is what she did by firing these people who gave themselves raises, Rooster.
But that's not...
She did the right thing.
I know, but there's apparently, you know, I'm black and white. There are two colors.
Yeah.
There's zero grays. That's an illusion. That's what they want you to think.
Well, they're saying in the days leading up to her firing these people that...
Well, okay, but it's not that. It's the meetings that we're talking
about.
Well,
yeah, in the days leading up, that's when she held at least one, if not two, private phone meetings with a majority of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board's Board of Directors.
Okay.
And that looks like it's a violation of the state's open meetings law. And so...
So what's the remedy here? What's the...
In my opinion, the remedy is...
Well, I didn't say that. I meant, what is the... What would the... if it's a state statute, what's the remedy if it is found, and who finds whether or not... I don't want to use the word guilty, but whether or not this has actually transpired. What happens?
A slap on the wrist.
Okay.
Because... She had one phone call meeting with a bunch of the higher-ups at the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. Evidently, a week before she fired, this is when these people gave themselves the raises. And you got to remember something. You talk about one of the most dysfunctional places in the city of New Orleans. It's the Sewage and Water Board. I mean, not only did they fail... When the pumps were off or they weren't working, when it rains heavy and it floods in this city, but they failed big time when they end up billing people and they just guess at what their bills are. And this is many, many customers of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board.
Okay.
So they're dysfunctional pretty much at every level that they're supposed to be functional at. So, but what I think put LaToya Cantrell, LaTweeta, what I think threw her into another realm of, are you kidding me, is when the interim bosses gave themselves and others around them pretty big raises right before that they were gonna be leaving the Sewage and Water Board.
See, I'm more fascinated by the, not living in Orleans Parish, I'm more fascinated by the possibility of alleged, I don't know what to call this. I mean, it's not...
Her addressing these issues that I'm telling you about right now on the phone with some of the Sewage and Water Board members was in violation because technically it was a meeting and it was a violation of the open meetings law. And
that's my question. She doesn't know, or someone can't inform her before she has this, before this action is taken, before she ostensibly has someone dial all the numbers for this conference call? Can't somebody say, hey, wait, hey, woo, 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 we can't do this behind closed doors or unrecorded or whatever the case
may
be.
Well, evidently someone didn't do that. Now, I don't know if she's thinking in her mind that this is a quote-unquote meeting.
Right.
Instead of a phone call where I'm going to go raise some hell with these people on this phone call.
Right.
Now, maybe that's how she can get around this and get away with it. She picked up the phone twice over the course of 2 weeks with some people at the Sewage and Water Board, and she wasn't happy with them. And then right after that, she ends up firing these people. These people were forced to hand in their resignation,
because
you just don't walk away from a cushy $130,000 a year job or check that, because they just gave themselves raises, $170,000 a year job. You just don't walk away from that. So she obviously said, you need to resign or we're going to fire you. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when you have these high-profile jobs. Because when you resign, it looks better on your resume when you're looking for your next gig than you were fired.
Yeah, the F word is always bad when you're job seeking.
And we all know with this particular...
Because I've used it before, and believe me, it didn't help.
With these particular firings, we all know that these people were told they got to go by LaTweeta Cantrell.
Mm-hmm.
And they were told that either over the phone or face-to-face and not on Twitter. But now they're saying that, these couple of phone calls that she had with the higher-ups of the Sewage and Water Board... It looks like it's apparently a violation of the open meetings law, And I got to be honest with you. If this is the worst that you can find on LaTuita Cantrell when it comes to her dealing with the, and I love the way she dealt with the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board, to me it's not news. But it did make a big story over the last couple of days because obviously the people that she told, you got to go, resign or we're going to fire you, they obviously aren't happy with her. So they probably called some local reporters and said, well, she had these phone calls with us.
Right.
And that was a violation of the open meetings law. Well, look, these people needed to go. For being horrendous, failed leaders of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. And when the city flooded, when we got a heavy rainstorm, that showed you that. But then when they had the audacity to go give themselves raises, that was horrific leadership as well, and they needed to be fired for that too. So by the way, which in my opinion, what they needed to be fired for the most, just making up people's bills without going out to their homes and looking at their meters and looking at how much water they actually used. They just overcharged and made up people's bills by overcharging by a lot of money. So they were wrong.
Oh, details, yeah. Come on.
The New Orleans Sewage and Water Board were wrong in every facet of their jobs, the higher-ups over there, and they needed to go. So I don't have an issue with some of those people being upset at the mayor for doing this and then maybe dropping a dime on her, calling some local media outlets, saying she violated the open meetings laws because she had phone calls with us and they weren't open. So we'll see how this is resolved, but I like what she did. That's something. I'm pretty shocked that I'm actually supporting this mayor.
Why don't you send her a tweet that says that?
I think I might. Tell her to listen to the show. Yeah, right? It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, we've talked about the fact that you can even say a majority now, because they're doing polls of millennials, a majority of younger Americans like the idea of socialism more than capitalism. In New York City, a woman was just elected
to New York City.
A woman was just elected to Congress, and she ran as a Democratic socialist. You had Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont, who's an admitted socialist. He would have won the Democratic primary to run against Donald Trump to be president if the Democratic primary wasn't fixed, if it wasn't rigged for Hillary Clinton to win it. As a matter of fact, Bernie Sanders' son, Levi Sanders, just ran and got blown out in New Hampshire's Democratic congressional primary on the advice of his father. Levi Sanders is now demanding that the votes be redistributed.
I see what you did there.
But what is it with people thinking?
You know who was really out in front of this was Howard Dean. Remember Howard Dean said, I'm going to run on a combination of socialism and capitalism, whatever that looks like.
And by the way, socialism has been tried all over the world, and it has failed everywhere. It has never worked. You run out of people's money. Plus, think about it. If you really are socialist where we all get the same, what would that do for people's get up and go? What would that do? That would stop people from wanting to wake up in the morning and go invent things and go create things and go do what they've been doing in this country, America, that has made America great for how many years? Look, we're the greatest country in the world. We're not perfect, but we try to get better every day. But socialism would take the incentive out of everyone. If you and I,
we have enough of that already.
Yeah, if we're all going to get the same thing anyways, why would some of us aspire to do great things then? We wouldn't, because we're all going to get paid the same. And have you seen the latest person who has said, "Hey, socialism, we should accept it, embrace it. It's the way to go." Actor Jim Carrey, who, by the way, is worth $150 million.
Yes.
So if If we went socialist tomorrow, our government would take every penny out of his bank account. I don't know if he realizes that, or if he understands that.
But how would he pay his bills? How would he pay the $10,000 a month mortgage on his home?
I don't know if he understands that, because in Cuba, that's what Fidel Castro did.
Right.
There were people that were living the great life in Cuba, and then one morning they woke up, and Fidel Castro went into every Cuban's bank accounts and emptied it. That's what he did. And Jim Carrey, that's what would happen to you if this country, America, went socialist. They would go and they would take every penny out of your bank account. You see, the rich Los Angeles types love saying stuff like this because they've got their money. They don't have to struggle anymore. And they think if we go socialist, that their money would still be theirs. If we truly go socialist, their money wouldn't be theirs. The government would come and empty their bank accounts.
Hmm.
They're trying socialism right now in Venezuela. People are starving. They're actually going to different countries. Venezuelans are leaving Venezuela, and they're trying to go to Brazil and other places because it doesn't work. You know, it might seem like a good idea and look good on paper, but socialism, for the reasons I just told you, doesn't work, and it will never work. It hasn't worked anywhere it's been tried, and it's pretty sad and pathetic that a majority of America's young people think socialism is a better idea than capitalism. They couldn't be more wrong. And it's a sad state that we have teachers in our schools, whether it's high schools or colleges, that are telling the students, that are telling the kids that, you know what, this is a better way to go, socialism, than what we already have, capitalism. It's sad and it's pathetic that message is being spewed about.
We're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Here's my favorite part.
Yeah! You know, that one sound clip that you just heard did in Howard Dean. His numbers were really big before that, and then after people heard that and saw that, they said, this guy's a lunatic.
Imagine that.
Yeah, that socialist is a nut. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamar Ford. So Hurricane Florence, even though it's dropped in power, it's going to hit later today. At first, it was supposed to be a Category 4. Now they're saying it's going to be a Category 2 or 3. They're still not sure when it hits later today. It's going to hit the Carolina coast. And the news stations are all ready for it. As a matter of fact, all of the news, the network news last night, I know CBS had their guys standing on the beach in North Carolina for their national evening news. And I know whether it's CNN or Fox News, they're all going to be covering it. You know, hurricanes are great for capitalism because people go to stores and they clean out the stores. They buy all the stuff that the stores are selling. And The news channels and the news are going to be all over it as well. After work, when you get home later on, because it's supposed to hit sometime when you get home from work today. Is that something you're going to be watching on television? Are you going to be watching the coverage of Hurricane Florence?
Let's back up just a moment here. You made the very incendiary, I think, statement that hurricanes are good for capitalism. Okay, so hurricanes are good for capitalism. You know what the estimate already is for property damage on this storm? Well, by way of comparison, Hurricane Katrina estimates of property damage upwards of $80 billion. They're talking about property damage from this storm in the range of $170 billion, according to one source.
And what do you do if your house...
Milk and bread and water, that's gonna make up for that?
No, not just milk, bread, and water, but if your house gets ruined, then what do you got to do? You got to go buy all the stuff to build a new house.
So you support Cat 3, 4, 5 hurricanes.
Did I say I supported them?
Well,
I said hurricanes and storms are good for capitalism.
You at least make the best of the situation by looking for the bright side in the eye of the storm.
I'm just all I said was that storms are good for capitalism because people go to stores, they buy stuff, and if something happens to your house, then you got to go buy stuff to redo your house.
But we talk about it all the time that in this newsbite world, that if that were to be reduced to writing and edited down to a headline, it's going to be John Osterlin pro hurricane.
No, not at all.
Of course it is.
Of course not. There's nothing we can do to control the hurricanes. It's out of our control.
Well, that's what they want you to think. You think about that one for a while.
Yeah. All right. But are you going to go home later on and are you going to watch the hurricane coverage because you know all of the news is are going to be they're going to be having reporters over there, the Weather Channel, you know, Jim Cantore's already there.
I'm thinking over your question. I don't really watch coverage of. Not maybe. Can I just say maybe? But no, am I going to watch Anderson Cooper standing with his hair not moving in an otherwise 80 mile per hour windstorm? No. I won't watch Jeff Glor, who you mentioned as being the anchor of the CBS Evening News. I might watch if they brought back Dan Rather with the CBS Evening News, live in a windstorm somewhere off Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. I might watch that.
I guess it's a category two as we speak right now, but we all know that can still mess things up. The Waffle House has gotten involved. Did you see this?
Now I'm interested. What did they do?
Well, the Waffle House, which is open 24 hours a day, which most of us know, they have now, and they're making news about this as well, they've activated a storm center to monitor Hurricane Florence. You know, Waffle House restaurants, they're known for staying open during hurricanes and other natural disasters. And federal officials actually, did you know this, use them to determine the severity of a hurricane, tornado, or other hazards of a local area. FEMA has coined the term Waffle House Index to measure the effect of a natural disaster on an area. If a Waffle House shuts down or limits its menu after such hazards, federal officials conclude the community took a major hit.
And I can't get a perfect over medium egg? Really?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Waffle House.
I like Waffle House.
That's something we agree on. Yeah, the Waffle House test just doesn't tell us how quickly a business might rebound. It also tells how the larger community is faring, according to FEMA. So wouldn't you go figure Waffle House now, whether they stay open or not or limit their menu or not, that determines how bad the storm is, how bad the natural disaster is. And this is probably...
Well, I would say that's one of the elements that they use, one of the indicators, one of the barometers that they use. I wouldn't say that's the only one. God, I hope not.
Well, no, but you it's something, the Waffle House test. They're in the middle of it now.
So let me ask you, are you going to go home and watch coverage? Are you going to... Well, you have picture in picture, and you always have CNN in either the big picture or the postage stamp. Sure you do.
You know, I never used to watch CNN that much until Donald Trump became president, because I can't believe over 90% of the time when you turn on CNN, they are saying bad things about Donald Trump, and they're trying to take down an American president.
Why can't you believe that? That's what we can't get a handle on. Why in God's name, after all of these hours of watching CNN, can't you just, that's what they're doing.
Whatever happened to covering the news?
CNN is not news.
I will be flipping around later on, but I mean, when it hits landfall later on today, early tonight, when it hits landfall on the Hurricane Florence on the Carolina coast, if someone is there, well, I'd like to. I'll probably check in.
You know what? One of my favorite new shows is the Larry King infomercial that makes it look like he's still doing his show.
Well,
because I guarantee you that there are people on this earth, and I don't want to say that they may be of advanced years. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that they may be of advanced years, but I guarantee you that there are people who turn on that show and it has the black background. Sometimes it even has the colored light bulbs in the set, and he's talking about some sort of miracle drug. People think that's Larry King Live.
Well, they told him.
Larry may think that's Larry King Live.
That's how they got him to do it. They said, look, you're really doing your show. You just happen to be talking about this pill.
East Undershirt, Idaho. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You're on with Mitzi Gaynor.
Pretty sure Mitzi Gaynor's dead.
But I just wondered
I'm pretty sure Larry King's dead.
I just wondered if you're going to watch this Hurricane Florence when it hits land later on today, early tonight, because you know, there's a lot of people that like to watch that, and they like to see the storm from their television. You know, especially people around here in the New Orleans area. Hey, there's a hurricane coverage on TV, and it's not involving us. Well, maybe I'll keep one eye on it to see what's going on.
My apologies to Francesca Marlene de Chesnall von Gerber. You better know her better as Mitzi Gaynor. She's still alive. In fact, she just last week celebrated her 87th birthday. Happy birthday.
And she'll probably be on Larry King, his pill show coming up.
Well, that's what's keeping her going, apparently. You know what I think is fascinating, and I can't remember the website right now, or I would give it out, but they have, as long as they last anyway, they have stationary cameras posted that are on either YouTube or online or whatever 24 hours a day. Now, that's fascinating when you can actually watch. To me, that's more fascinating as a weather event, as a meteorological event, than to have Anderson Cooper repeat himself every 2 minutes and 20 seconds. That's what I can't stand. You call that coverage, then no, I'm not going to watch that.
Well, obviously keep an eye on it and pay attention and hope that it doesn't go as bad as some of these people are saying it's going to go.
And thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. Hey, coming up. A woman, an author who wrote romance novels and wrote novels about how to kill your spouse. She just got arrested and charged with killing her spouse. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So this woman who wrote a bunch of romance novels, she was self-published, but she had some success. And she wrote one book that was called The Wrong Husband. She just got arrested for murdering her husband. Her name's Nancy Crampton Brophy. And this past June, her husband was murdered. And the investigators were looking into it. And then all of a sudden, the other day, they arrested her and charged her with the murder of her husband of more than 25 years, Daniel Brophy, who was a beloved chef at a Portland, Oregon culinary school. Not only did she write a bunch of steamy, self-published romance novels, she wrote something called How to Murder Your Husband by Nancy Brophy.
Apparently it was a true story.
Yeah, and again, this happened in June, and so the cops were investigating for a while, July, August, here we are in September, and the other day they arrested her. And, you know, they say a lot of times that art imitates life. Well, or is this life imitating art? You know, Oregon romance novelist arrested for murdering her chef husband. Coming up next.
Standing headline.
Yeah. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. We're giving away Saints tickets, a pair for this Sunday's game against Cleveland. And the mayor of Kenner is backpedaling. And Mike the Tiger his final days may be coming in that cage that he lives in next to the stadium in Baton Rouge.
Not his final days, his final days where he is.
Where he is, yeah. Right. Boy, a lot coming up in our last hour.
Jam-packed.
It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. By the way, real quick, I don't know if you caught it the other night. Did you see what Aaron Rodgers did for the Green Bay Packers the other night?
No, but I have. You're talking about his post-game?
No, I'm talking about the fact
interview?
That he came back after hurting his knee, and he literally beat the Chicago Bears on one leg. He couldn't put any pressure on his left leg, and he came back in the second half. They scored three touchdowns, and he on one leg. He's probably not going to play this week because he sprained his knee. He hurt his knee really bad, and the fact that he came back and beat them on one leg only a couple of days after signing the contract that made him the highest paid professional football player in the history of the NFL.
Well, here, this is what I thought you were talking about in regards Aaron Rodgers.
You know, I went in the locker room, did all the tests in our indoor facility trying to get it loosened up. But I knew once I got back on the field, the adrenaline started going, I'd be able to hang in there.
What was the injury?
Well, my knee. You know, I just felt something in it. Just having a hard time putting weight on it. Doc and I had a conversation there. You know, we did the tests. I told him I was going back.
You come back on the field, it's 20-0. There was a look in your eye. What were you thinking?
Something special. You know, I told the guys at halftime, I said, if you shut them out, we're going to win. They gave up six, but I just had a feeling that we could spark it and get things going if we just put together a couple drives, disappointed, you know, with a field goal. And then guys started making plays. That's what we said in the huddle. You know, we got to make some plays. Gmo had a great catch. And then Randall, you know, ran about 80 yards for a touchdown. It was pretty special.
I guess it's Michelle Tafoya on NBC. I guess what they were talking about is Aaron Rodgers, for some inexplicable reason, starts talking like this with kind of a southern drawl. It's like, why is he talking like this? He's trying to sound like, oh, his whole manager can't believe it.
Yeah, I thought it was just his knee that got hurt, but it sounds like his head got hurt, too. But he literally, they were down 20-0 at halftime. He comes out on one leg. And he beat them.
Right.
And, you know, as we sit here in the year 2018, him, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees are the three best quarterbacks in the NFL. And then you could start talking about, well, who's, like, just below them.
Right.
But those three are the three best.
All right. Speaking of football, if you would like to go with a pair of tickets to Sunday's Saints game to see them pummel Cleveland, be caller 9 right now, 260-9595. You must be a legal resident of Louisiana or Mississippi. It's got to be you that picks them up. No surrogates, no proxies. Call now, 260-9595. Caller number 9 wins a pair of tickets.
Cool.
And September 13th, 1986, bonus suck. This show premiered. And I love this show. You know what this is?
No, what is it?
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Debuted Saturday, September 13th, 1986. Can you believe that was 32 years ago? Love that show. You have congratulations over there.
Congratulations to Dallas in Luling. Dallas was our ninth caller, and he won a pair of tickets to go see the New Orleans Saints play this Sunday against the Cleveland Browns.
Yes. That's it. We're done.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the show. Ginty is next. Ginty! Music Notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30-ish here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.